Now listen as Brother Joseph Otter from the Slave Lake Congregation discusses this subject further in the part, Imitate Jehovah by Imitating Jesus, It Has Been Accomplished.
We all appreciate someone who is true to their word, don't we? And likely we want to be that way ourselves. But we recognize, too, there's challenges, isn't there? It's like forecasting the weather. One gentleman called into the radio station and said, I just shoveled 6 inches of partly cloudy off my front step. But doesn't that typify the limitations we have as humans? We may have good intentions, but we can't always accomplish what we'd like. But that's not the case with Jehovah, is it? When we look at his track record in his word, the Bible, there's not one promise that hasn't come true. Now, why is that the case? How is it that Jehovah is true to his word? Let's open in our Bibles together to Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll read the assurance that's provided here. Now, as we turn in our Bibles there, we appreciate the context that Jehovah was making a promise here to his people that just didn't seem to be that realistic. Being freed from Babylon, that doesn't happen. We've got a world power here that does not release its slaves. But notice the assurance in verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 55. And this is Jehovah himself speaking. He says, For just as the rain and the snow pour down from heaven and do not return there until they saturate the earth, making it produce and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so my word that goes out of my mouth will be. It will not return to me without results, but it will certainly accomplish whatever is my delight, and it will have sure success in what I send it to do. Well, that's the case, isn't it? When we look at his track record, and he used as an illustration in verse 10 the fact that there's inherent systems within the earth, like such as the water cycle. Maybe we don't understand everything or we can't perfectly explain it, but we know it works, don't we? Now, the rain comes down, seeds germinate, they grow, we have food. We understand that. And Jehovah is saying his word is exactly the same. Maybe we don't understand every detail of how things are fulfilled, but he says, if I promise it, it'll happen. And it has. And because Jehovah is true to his word, it means that we can trust him. He's not going to keep us waiting for something he has no intention of bringing about. Nor is he going to give up on his purpose. He finishes what he starts. But our theme is imitating Jehovah by imitating Jesus. So how is Jesus true to his word? Well, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 19. And we recall, likely, that at Jesus' baptism, he presented himself to do God's will, didn't he? Well, how did he make out? John chapter 19, verse 30. So here he is. He's hanging on the torture stake, and with his last ounce of energy, verse 30 says, When he had received the sour wine, Jesus said, It has been accomplished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So was Jesus true to his word? There's a little question, is there? To his death, he stayed true to what he promised to do. And notice even right at the very last moments, what was his mind on? Well, verse 30, the beginning part says when he had received the sour wine. So even at the very end, his thoughts were on fulfilling even the smallest messianic prophecy, making sure that he was true to his word. And because he was true to his word, because he accomplished what he set out to do, he proved Satan a liar. Proved that he was lying about Jehovah's servants, us as humans. Proved that he was lying about Jehovah himself. Showed through his speech and actions that God's rulership is righteous. That it is for our good. And by maintaining that course, by being true to his word, he settled the most important issues in the universe. And look at how you and I have benefited from that. So then we may ask the question, well, how can we be true to our word? Well, again, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. We always admire that in someone else, but what about ourselves? Mark 8, and note verse 34, as Jesus himself highlights what would be involved in this. So with our dedication too, we presented ourselves to do God's will. But in verse 34, after calling the disciples to him, Jesus said, If anyone wants to come after me, let him disown himself, pick up his torture stake, and keep following me. So did you notice what's involved there? How we can be true to our word? Disowning ourselves or acknowledging Jehovah's way is right. It's going to be good for us. Picking up our torture stake, so there's going to be challenges involved. We have to be realistic here too. Imagine dragging a log around. It's not going to be easy. And keep following me. So it would be over a period of time. We would have to endure. And when we look around, so many of our dear brothers and sisters have endured. They have lived up to their dedication. Despite serious challenges, whether it's illness or family opposition, maybe crushing disappointments that come in life that just take the wind right out of our sails. How do we feel when we see that? Don't we admire that? Don't we love our brothers for that? Well, how much more so does Jehovah love them and love us too when we endure and are true to our word? So we'd like to take a few minutes now here to speak to Brother Danny Plummer. Brother Plummer is an elder in the Hay River congregation. So, Brother Plummer, you've been faithfully serving Jehovah for about 15 years now, but we understand you endured a particularly difficult time in your life about 4 years ago. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a beautiful day, and I was out enjoying it when I got a sharp pain in the back of my neck. I found out I had an aneurysm, and it had blown. And by rights, I should have bled out in about 90 seconds. But I survived, and I was eventually flown to a Vancouver hospital to await open-heart surgery.
Okay, so there you were, awaiting potentially life-ending surgery. What sort of things were going through your mind?
Well, many things, actually. One was my relationship with Jehovah. The other one was praying to him all the time, asking him for strength to endure the pain that I was receiving, but also to remain faithful right to the very end, because I realized an operation without a blood transfusion seemed hopeless.
Okay, so maybe we could ask then, at any point were you criticized for your dedication, or were you pressured to compromise?
Well, even before I was flown to Vancouver, the hospital that I was at, the doctor washed his hands of my case. He said I was going to die without a blood transfusion, and he offered no assistance from that point on. Even the doctors in Vancouver, they echoed his words too as well, and they asked me to leave the hospital in around 2 months because they said that they could not find a doctor that would operate. They said, you might as well just go home and die. Even one doctor whispered in my ear and told me that I was going to die and go to hell.
It's hard to imagine it could have gotten any worse, but did it end there?
No, believe it or not, 3 weeks later, I was flown back to the same hospital, to the same ward, the same doctors, with 100% kidney failure, just to endure the same treatment for another 2 months.
Oh, goodness. And this went on for some time. Well, we're so happy that you were eventually able to get that surgery, and you're here with us now. Could you tell us what helped you to get through that whole ordeal?
Oh, Brother Otter, how can I have turned my back on Jehovah, woken up every morning knowing that I had taken a blood transfusion? You know, my love and my faithfulness meant more to me than my life, myself.
Thank you, Brother Plummer. So we recognize, all of us, we have a need to endure, and we have challenges, each and every one of us. And sometimes when these things come in, it's true that they take the feet out from underneath us. We don't really always know how to respond or how we're going to get through. But are we left on our own? Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. And you likely recall that even hours before his death, Jehovah sent an angel to strengthen his son. And can you imagine what that angel would have said to Jesus? You're so close. You're so close. Don't give up. Don't forget this. Your Father loves you. He's here for you. You've got this. Don't give up. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. And we may not have an actual angel come and strengthen us, but the principle is the same. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, and I appear to have James. There we go. So in the first portion of the verse, we recognize the need for us to endure. And notice God's assurance in the latter part. He says, He will make you firm. He will make you strong. He will firmly ground you. So Jehovah, in essence, is promising us that He will firmly ground us. He will give us the strength we need to get through, like a house that's rooted firmly on its foundation. Now, the winds come in, and they may just pound that house, and there may be some damage, but if it's firmly rooted, it survives. And likewise with us. So What an opportunity, what a privilege for us then to uphold Jehovah's sovereignty and prove true to our word in imitation of both Jehovah and Jesus.